On today's episode of The Good Word, Roz Gold and Woody joins us to talk WNBA after the Olympics break and Team USA basketball, including LeBron building on his legacy, KD being underrated forever, and Asia Wilson's ability to fit in and dominate the W and international ball. All that and much more coming up right now.
Good Word with Goodwill on Yahoo Sports. Ball don't lie. And here is Vince Goodwill.
Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. We are part of the Ball Don't Lie podcast. Get us wherever you get your podcast. It is Tuesday. Y'all know we slowed it down a little bit for the summer. The Olympics is going on. But there is one guest I have been begging to come on for the past like year and a half. And it's always been schedules because she's super busy and I never want to bother her. But now I decided to bother her because she's on vacation and ain't like she ain't got nothing else to do today because it's a random Tuesday. She got nothing else on her plate. The great Roz Gold on Woody. Roz, how you doing today?
I am so happy to see you. You are just one of my favorite people in hoops, in NBA hoops. When we see each other, we be cutting up. I've been wanting to be on the show and the podcast, and it had to be you because I don't know who can get me. I am literally in the middle of vacation, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to pull up. Let's do it. Let's talk some summer hoops.
I appreciate it. Y'all, in case y'all don't know, Roz, of course, is a WNBA analyst for New York Liberty. She played college basketball at Stanford, and of course, she played on a Nigerian national team. So, of course, with the Olympics, we're going to hit a little bit of all of that stuff. But before we even hit it, like, Roz, since you're on vacation, like, have you been like me where you're like, wait, it's August now? Like, where did the summer go? Because I feel like the summer just came and went.
I actually don't fully feel like that. I think it's an interesting summer because of the Olympics. So, I mean, ball don't stop, right? NBA, right. Into draft, into summer league. I go straight into WNBA season. But actually, and I'm sure I've covered an Olympics before. I'm not in Paris. I'm home in LA. So that meant I have like 3 weeks of just sitting down. And I've taken that very serious. So right now in this 3 weeks at home, I've entered my hosting era. We've been grilling. I recently just had a pool paint and sip at my house with my friends.
I saw that.
What else did I do? I've hosted birthday parties. We've had bubbles. We've had all the things. I did a pool house renovation. I'm just like taking it rather slow. And then doing Vinny's podcast.
See, and you had old buddy from Insecure doing curls in your pool area.
Yeah, because you never know who pull up at my crib. There's all sorts of people who I've met and happen to be in LA. A lot of folks are actually overseas or traveling. It's peak vacation time too. So we did the pool paint and sip, and Sharonis, who is the homie, also a fellow hooper. You might know him from Insecure or Clipped. Make sure you're tuning in for his new show, Clipped. He's Matt Barnes on it. But he pulls up. He's on mad side quests. He didn't paint. He didn't sip. But he did find my weights. And I found him in my driveway, like, lifting weights. And then all the other men that were there saw him doing it. So then they were all getting a lift in. And I'm like, men, y'all are so weird. But I was like, whatever. Mi casa es su casa.
I mean, you see weights and it becomes all of a sudden like a challenge. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not the dude that lifts weights in the driveway. I'm a little too refined for such things. That's why I got a gym. You know, I got a gym membership. But if I see someone doing some curls, I'm like, you know what? It's not a bad time to work on the biceps. Not a bad time to work on the triceps. You know, you get it in a little bit. You know,
listen. And the ladies might have noticed a little glisten on our male counterparts. You know, out there getting it in the sun. But I'd like to believe, Vinny, like, if I invited you to a paint and sip, you would have sat down and painted with us, right?
I'd have sipped. No, don't know about the paint. I'd have sipped.
Listen, we are very cultured over here. And
I see the background.
Yeah, we got a lot of art.
Look, Roz goes in. Roz is like queen of the culture of everything. Like, Roz's Instagram is like a vacation onto itself, like a party that I wish I was invited to. So, but I don't live in LA. So,
That is the reason why that we're going to say, because otherwise you'd be invited.
My dog. That's why you're my dog. So, we're going to get first into the outlet where we connect on a hit-ahead pass and get through several pieces of NBA news quickly. First off, USA beating Puerto Rico 104-83 a couple days ago. Ant-Man showing up. Like, he looked like the dude that we expected to take over this thing. Roz, it looks like that second unit where it's Ant-Man, it's Kevin Durant, it's Anthony Davis, it's Bam Adebayo. Like, that's the athleticism. That's the strength of this team. That's what's going to be the thing that carries this deep USA basketball team to a gold medal, right?
Yeah, and especially when USA has a chance to really play up-tempo, get the ball moving. They're super unselfish and super deep. But, I mean, Anthony Edwards, especially in this last game, I think probably his best, you know, game. Yeah. Like, who's having a better time in Paris than Ant?
Nobody. Like, nobody.
Ant dropping 26. He did great from three. He was super flashy in the open court. You know, you can't keep him in front. But he turns 23. He had his birthday party. Gunner shows up and surprises him. He's out there, you know, like you said, like being mentored on and off the court, you know, by KD, getting a chance to be around LeBron and the greats and soak it in. Mm-hmm. He's going to tennis table matches or table tennis.
He's out there.
He's meeting people. He's partying. Yo, I'm so happy for this little 23-year-old. He is just a delight. He's delightful, isn't he?
That's what I said. Like I said this last week, if there was a camera, like a drone that we needed to fly around and follow somebody, it's Anthony Edwards. Maybe like in 92 was Charles Barkley with the Dream Team because Charles would go anywhere. I feel like Ant-Man and all that Atlanta and Ant-Man, he's going to go anywhere, do anything. And then he's going out there and balling and you can just kind of see the confidence growing. You see Kevin Durant showing everybody, hey, if I played on a real team, I'd still be like an MVP type of player. Like all these things are coming. Not saying that the Phoenix Suns aren't a real team. The structure's a little different over there. You know what I mean? Right. Like he's kind of had a little bit of bad team building luck since he left the Bay Area. But he's still, like we think about LeBron at his age. We think about, to some degree, Steph in his age. KD's going to be 36 years old in September. And he still looks like Kevin Durant.
Yeah. You know, one thing about KD that stands out to me is his ability to fit into any roster. He's a basketball savant. He doesn't need much to get his game off. The only thing that has really held KD back since leaving the Warriors, because at that point, we were talking about KD as the best player in the world. We were discussing him in that way, has been literally injuries, weird team chemistry dynamics, and the pandemic. And these things have been what has startled him. But one thing about KD that's also been impressive and should also be talked about perhaps as part of his, I know he hates the word, but legacy, is his ability to come back from significant injuries and do great. Like, I was not surprised. People were like, oh, he didn't do nothing with USA basketball. He didn't practice. He didn't play. And homeboy showed up and crushed it. And like absolutely was great. And I was like, yeah, I think that's what KD has done every single time. So all I want for KD, this lover of the game, this honest, like he gives to the game. You know, we joke, we say KD don't do much, but hoop. But like, I just hope he can get in a healthy situation and just be healthy. And while we still can see the greatness that is KD, because he's really a very special talent.
I think he's going to go down as one of the more underappreciated talents because people criticize his choices and everything else. And we're forgetting, hey, this dude is an incredible, maybe top 12 basketball player of all time. And maybe even higher when you talk about skill set. It's absolutely crazy. Now,
wait, before you get off KD.
Go ahead.
And I actually think underrated in how we talk about his capabilities on defense. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That was the thing to me, Roz, that separated him from LeBron. When I felt like he took over as best player in the league, being able to impact the game, was when LeBron powered it down on defense and Kevin Durant became that otherworldly. He was still in Oklahoma City, and I thought Kevin Durant became the best player in basketball. And then Golden State happened, so people kind of took points away from him, which I didn't think made any sense. You know what I mean?
I'm not even here to argue that. That's such an old conversation. Right. Like it's like being in a what's that mill?
A hamster wheel.
Having the same convo over and over again. I personally am choosing peace in my life. I'm moving forward. But I do think, and probably this is just for me, maybe me being much closer to his game once he got to Golden State and really having the chance to like study him in a close-up way, I really noticed his defensive efforts escalating with the Warriors.
Yeah.
Cause like, you know, he was being challenged to step up, you know, in the paint, in the post, to block shots, to rebound, to help in a small, you know, in a small ball lineup and things like that. And, you know, that was something that was being echoed, how Kevin was consistently stepping up in that way. So, you know, I think it doesn't, people often will even say he's the greatest offensive player, but I'm like, you forget KD's a good defender too. And he's worked at it.
Look, the fact that the NBA has gotten, quote unquote, positionless, a term I hate, right? I hate the term positionless because you can't throw 5 7-footers out there and you ain't throwing 5 smalls out there. You know what I mean? Like there has to be roles. But for someone like KD, who profiles as a, quote unquote, small forward, but is tall enough to play center and has handles enough to play the one and can shoot well enough to play the two and is a matchup advantage enough at the four, like we are missing the boat because we're talking about the other things. And he can defend at all three levels. He can score at all three levels. I don't know if there's a player in NBA history. I guess Jordan could probably score at all. He could score at all three levels and he could defend at all three levels, but he was 6'6" as opposed to 7 feet. Like there aren't too many players that can defend at all three levels and score at all three levels. And if we're talking about things outside of basketball with Kevin Durant, we're missing the basketball conversation. So right, I'm glad I got the basketball savant Roz with me, because like we here on this, like we
right here on it. What did you think about LeBron? I thought he was impactful in the few shots that he took.
Yeah, I think LeBron, I think versus in the Puerto beginning, Rico. Yeah, in the beginning, I think LeBron wanted to like set a tone as like the alpha on this team. And it was honestly, it was easier to do because Kevin Durant wasn't there. You know what I mean? Like because Steph Curry would rely so much on ball movement and the ball moving around, and he's not going to be like that singular force where I'm just going to spread out 1-5, go down the lane. Like it set the stage for LeBron in international basketball with the feeble rules to be able to use the shoulders and use the length and use his strength to get down the lane and be like this force multiplier in that way. And because it is a short span rise, it's like you can sprint. Like he doesn't have to worry about the long game here. He doesn't have to worry about resting his body. He can just go. And now because KD is here, you know, not like, oh, the real ball player is here, but it's like, no, because Kevin Durant is now here, he can sort of go back to being more of a facilitator because Kevin Durant can play with force without having to be forceful, right?
Right. And I think, you know, LeBron gets to set the tone. He's one of the part of that starting unit. You know, the people who took the most shots in the last game versus Puerto Rico, I mean, I think we expected to see Joel Embiid to get more touches because there was like a huge size advantage with the Puerto Rican team. But then Anthony Edwards after that, you know, like I think LeBron had high impact moments. He nearly had a triple double. I think he had like 10 points, but it's like it's runouts, it's dunks, it's high flying. To your point,
it's loud. You know, it's very loud.
Loud. He can be explosive in spurts. And I actually think that's a really nice place for someone like LeBron to be. I wish he could almost have an opportunity to be like that in a, you know, 82 game season in the regular season where he could be explosive in spurts, but that's not the case. And, you know, for me, I think I know these guys, like, they don't necessarily love legacy. Well, LeBron likes legacy talk.
Yes, he does. He's obsessed with legacy. He doesn't like it. He loves it.
LeBron do like a legacy talk, but and as he should. He got a legacy to talk about. But I think the longevity is something that needs to be discussed as part of his legacy as an athlete and the high level. Not just that he's hanging around long, but the high level he's playing at. And I also think the state of international basketball has changed. I think if USA basketball wins a gold medal here in this super deep, you know, field where, I mean, you got teams with 10 NBA players on the roster in Canada and stuff. I mean, these are the top players of the world are out here in this next field in the quarterfinals. I think if anybody on the men's side is still hanging on to, oh, you know, USA, you know, had a close game, what a failure. I think they need to get up with the times, and that LeBron being part of leading a team with this type of deep field, if they're able to get to a gold medal, I think that is very impressive and needs to be, and we need to talk about that in that way.
No, I think because LeBron is obsessed with legacy in a way, it doesn't allow us to actually give him the praise because he's doing it himself. You know what I mean? Like in his own way.
Wait, that sounds like shade. But LeBron do be controlling a narrative. You're right.
That's all.
But he's a storyteller. I mean, this is a man with a media company. Now, come on, he understand the game.
If you don't control it, the game is the game.
They'll control it for you.
The game is the game, Ross. And we just
You sound annoyed. Speak on it. You have a personal issue?
No. People here will call me like a LeBron hater. No, people here like, listen, you hate LeBron because I said he's the second greatest player or the third greatest player of all time. Like that's not an insult. Like, I think we'll never see another athlete like him. Ross, we'll never see another guy who came to the NBA with so much hype and expectation, and who the only thing he could have done was fail, right? In 2003 or 2001, the Sports Illustrated cover, I think he was a sophomore in high school, maybe he was a junior. Like, there was so much hype. There was nothing he could do but fail, and he succeeded. And I think that's his greatest victory of all of this. It's not where he ranks on your Mount Rushmore, or if he's better than Jordan, or if he's better than Kobe or Magic, or whatever it is. Like, that's a very, like I said, simplistic discussion to have. And I don't choose to have it because everybody's in their corners. Like, ain't nobody changing their mind. But I think the impressive part about him is that he's been committed to being LeBron James from the moment that he understood where he ranked, how important he was going to be. You know what I mean? Like, I think that meant a lot to him in that way. So,
and that's on and off the court too.
Yeah, all of it. No scandal. So yeah, when Stephen A. makes fun of LeBron, and right before he's about to say something bad about him, calls him a great father, philanthropist, husband, blah blah blah. Like, I don't know all of those things, but it's amazing that LeBron has been committed to presenting the best possible public image, and that says a lot about his expectations and how he feels his name is important to the culture, to himself, to his family, all that type of stuff. Now, that's it for the outlet. We're going to pause for a minute and we'll be back with the good word. We're going to talk some WNBA talk with Roz Golden Wood. Back here on the good word with Roz. Roz, like, we're setting the table for the W when it comes back from the Olympic break. You, of course, are the analyst for the New York Liberty. 9-1 in the last 10, 21-4 this season. Are there any weaknesses as they start to look ahead to the postseason?
What I would be most worried about for the New York Liberty, who have been, you know, the best team through the first half of the season before the Olympic break, except they did drop the Commissioner's Cup, but still the record. And also from my eye test, that's what I've seen. My biggest concern for them in the second half of the season is their health. And, you know, on Germany, you've got Leonie Fibisch, who just got banged up playing in Olympic competition. You know, Niara Sabali, we've always got to keep an eye on her health. She's been in and out of the first half of the season, also a German. And shout out to Satu, who is back healthy and balling out for the Dallas Wings, though, but for Germany as well. But I would say Benai Gelaney had knee surgery during this Olympic break. So this break was really helpful for the Liberty to allow her the time she needed in order for her knee to hopefully, you know, heal. And we'll see how ready she is once the second half of the season starts, like mid-August, coming up in about a week or so. So health is the biggest issue, because the Liberty have proven so far that first five returners, they still bomb. We knew they were ballers. They are balling. And then we didn't know as much about their bench unit. And turns out their bench unit are ballers as well. They're big. They're versatile. They play defense. They can shoot the three and stretch the floor. They're led by Kayla Burton. And Fibisch was having a really nice moment, too, heading into the break. So the Liberty were looking talented, deep, and having more consistency. The only thing that could hold them back would be injuries.
Yeah, it seems like it. They've been consistently, like, the best team throughout this season. While you've seen the Storm and the Aces, they've kind of been a little bit more like up and down seismic, but they've been putting it together too. Like, how do you see those two teams as contenders, the Storm and the Aces, you know, competing with the Liberty, how they sort of shake up for playoff positioning?
Yeah, I mean, I understood and felt that they would do better as the season went along. You know, to start with Seattle, this is a team that had an influx of new players, Skylar Diggins-Smith, Nneka Ogumike, Jewel Lloyd, much like the Liberty did last season, an influx of talent. You need some time to mesh, to gain chemistry, to figure it out. And I don't want to miss Ezzie, who returned as well for Jewel, but I'm for the Seattle, but all that talent needs a moment to figure it out. And, you know, they finished much stronger. Same thing for the Aces. The Aces are still the Aces. The Aces are going to ace. And they started the season off with a lot of injuries to really important players. I mean, all of them are really talented. You know, you've got Jackie Young, who was out in and out with injury, and Chelsea Gray, who was out, who I could argue, you know, you could argue is one of the most important players for the Aces. Certainly Asia's their MVP. But she makes so much go for them. So now that the team has gotten healthier, and Asia has admirably held down the fort, which is one of the big arguments to go for her MVP case. Not only that she's statistically leading the league in a lot of categories and that she's dominant on both ends, but also how she did it while players were injured. And now her team is coming along with her as the Aces have marched into this break. So I expect... And a lot of them right now are playing in the Olympics, continuing to gain steam and momentum together. So I think the Aces are going to come out hot in the second half of the season.
Yeah, it's funny. The statement about Chelsea Gray, like one of the best shot makers you'll ever see in any sport. Mm-hmm. She's hitting shots with hand in her face off different platforms, off one foot, like different angles. Like she is killing it. And then, like you said, with Asia Wilson, like her production across the board, the rebounding is up. The scoring is way up, like 27 and 12. I'm curious, because she's in the Olympics, Roz, do you think while everybody else is getting rest and she's not that she's playing like heavy minutes because, you know, it's a shared responsibility there. How do you think she's going to come back on the back end of this? Do you think this will help the competition or do you think she could have used the rest considering how much weight she had to carry with so many injuries that her team had?
I think that this is all fine for Asia Wilson. One thing that really stands out to me when I watch her play is her motor. This is someone that on both ends is playing at such high pace with such ferocity, is being a force that you can feel and a presence, playing offense and defense at all levels. I mean, I think this is just like that's her natural state of being on the court where everything is full go. And I think that's a great tempo and tone setter for her team. What she has shown so far in this calendar season is that when she has a roster that's a little more depleted due to injuries, she's still that girl. What she's showing right now is when the roster is full with the Aces, she's still that girl. What she's showing right now when she's literally playing against, amongst the best in the world on the Olympic USA team, she is still that girl. Her game fits across different rosters, different styles, different strategies. It speaks to her cerebral ability as a player, which I don't think we talk enough about. Asia's a very smart player on top of the talent and the physicality that she can bring to the game. So my analysis would be this in watching USA basketball. The two best players in the world right now are Asia Wilson and Breanna Stewart. The MVP favorite for this WNBA season is Asia Wilson. And then I might be biased, but I think, you know, a really strong argument for maybe like what's the next tier of MVP candidate. I think Sabrina Ionescu, you know, is in the conversation. She's not there with Asia right now, but Sabrina has been outstanding for the Liberty this season and has honestly had a breakout year. She was already an all-star, but like has taken that next level of her game because she's more than a three-point shot, Vinny. She is getting to the cup. She's clutch. She's a winner.
No, I like her. I really, really, like I see when teams play up on her and she's blowing by, she's using the screens, she's playing angles. Like I can see the maturity. Like you can see at all levels, like when they get that extra bit of confidence, that extra juice, like, oh, I'm the best player out here. Even if they're not, they're going to play like this. That's the part that I love about Sabrina. Now, of course, you know, we have to talk about the national discussion that rages through the W, the discussion about Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. We don't have to go into...
Like, what is the discussion?
I can tell Roz is, the wheels were turning. Roz was like, where's he going? Roz was like, where's he going? We got no reprieve, right? They're not in the Olympics right now. We got Angel Reese on stage with Megan Thee Stallion, and we got Caitlin Clark.
Angel's so cool. She just cool.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark
here.
In the supermarket. You know what I mean? Like, she's just in the supermarket with a mama mentality sweatshirt or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. But how much do you think, we don't have to get into Dawn Staley's comments about Caitlin Clark maybe a week or so ago. I thought they were interesting, but people will beat that to the ground in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
But how do you think the break, because unlike the NBA, the W players, like the college players, they go straight from, March Madness right into the draft, right into the season, right into, heavy stretches of games. I feel like the rest helps those two players more than anybody, right?
Mm-hmm. I think this is really useful time for teams. I think the Olympic break provides rest and rehab for teams that are a little banged up or injured. I think it provides practice time, a chance to work on skills, a chance to reassess what you've learned for the young or rookie players to now, I was thrown into the fire. Now I got almost a month here to watch film, work on my game, get stronger, come back confident and rested. The Indiana Fever in particular, it was a major headline. They were thrown of all the people in the fire, they was in there burning. It was the wildest schedule, the most games. Everything was sold out crowds, the most attention. And I think, there was a period where by the end of it, they were looking disgruntled, disenfranchised, as they should. And finally, they got 5 straight days of practice. And since then, and rest, and also a chance to kind of address themselves. There was a lot of noise outside and inside the team. And then coming out of that, I thought that as a team, they looked much better. So I think that this is going to be a great time for teams like them, to really come out of the break even more improved. But were you asking about Caitlin?
I was about Caitlin and Angel, just because of the rigorous college schedule, then right into the W's rigorous schedule, not having that break in between. This break is going to help them out. And you kind of alluded to that pretty much.
Yeah, it will. It will. Another thing that I think about the break, for those two players, the first half of the season was so highly polarizing. And I feel like there was a lot of discomfort because they came in with hype and people weren't sure, were they going to be that girl? Were they really that? Were they deserving of that? And I think both of these players, whether it be with, rookie records being shattered, at WNBA records, where they were, leading in assists for Caitlin, leading in rebounds, offensive rebounds at times for Angel, the double-double record, for both of them to come in and be all-stars, Angel Reese to come in and have a double-double, for, Caitlin Clark to come to the all-star game and make a rookie record for assists, nearly taking down Sue Bird's assist record for the All-Star game. What I think they've both proven in the first half of the season is that they belong, that they are not hype, that they are absolutely not afraid of the light. One thing about these two players in particular, the bigger the stage, the more they've performed. And I'm very impressed by that. They have absolutely not just been hype cycles. They have been very... there's been a lot of substance. And so my expectation for the second half of the season is that there's going to continue to be even more eyeballs and momentum. But I'm really hopeful and I believe that the conversations will be much more basketball focused rather than all of the agenda driven, polarizing craziness that was going on. And I'm hoping that people could just hoop. Let's just see the girls.
It's been uncomfortable. In the beginning, you were glad that people into the tent. You know what I mean? You're into the tent. You're into the conversation. You're watching. You're seeing all these other things. And then it just gets kind of weird because people don't know what the hell they're talking about. And they're using Caitlin to beat up on Angel. Or they're using Angel to beat... Oh, whatever it is. It just felt so freaking weird. Didn't like it at all. But I'm glad we'll be able to get back to the basketball. And with that, we're going to take our last ad break. And we will be right back with Roz. Right back here with Roz Gold on What A Roz. Of course, right now, as we're recording, USA is going to take on Brazil in like the next hour or so. So we can't even really talk about that because we're not an oracle. We don't have a vision for the future. Y'all can go and listen to Jake and Dan tomorrow, who will talk about that in the quarterfinal. Now, let's talk about the women instead, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Team USA plays against a team near and dear to you. Team USA will take on the Nigerian national team mm-hmm. tomorrow. Roz, you were once on the roster. Just from your personal experience, what is that like to play on a, you know, on a national team, and then across the way, it's Team USA?
Yeah. So playing for the Nigerian national team absolutely was one of the highlights of my basketball career. It has a lot more meaning when you're playing for, you know, you're always playing for the name on the jersey, but now you're playing for a country. You're playing for how you grew up. You're playing for the dishes that, you know, your parents cooked for you, traditional food, for, you know, you're playing for your cousins, your family members. And I remember taking such great pride. I remember things that really stand out to me was our preparation for, you know, trying to get to the Olympics. We played in the All Africa Games. We played in the FIBA qualifiers. We practiced in Nigeria, in Abuja. We had the chance to tour around Lagos. We played all over the continent. We were in Mozambique in the south. We were in Mali in the north. Like, what an amazing experience, not to mention for someone like me who's mixed, whose father's Nigerian and mother's white and Eastern European, it was such a wonderful way to, you know, be even further immersed and connected with my bloodline, with my heritage, and with my father's, you know, side of the family. So it was a really beautiful opportunity to play for Team Nigeria. And in particular, this team makes us all very proud. This is a team that's gone through, this Nigerian national team, the women's team, has gone through a lot of adversity, and they continue to make history in the face of it. Even humbling to come to the Olympics in Paris, this team was denied access to go on the boat for the opening ceremonies. You didn't hear about this. Really, really shameful, humbling, disappointing, obviously, for these players. The opening ceremonies is one of the great, you know, special moments of the Olympics. Yeah. They were denied access. There have also been some, separately, there have been some disappointing stories that have come out of mistakes made, perhaps by the Federation, that there have been some Olympians on the Nigerian side that have missed their moments or haven't been able to compete because of mistakes made. So it's there has been some disheveled moments. And yet, in the face of that, this team continues to overcome. So they just beat Canada. I believe Canada was like the number five team in the nation. And their first win was, I think, Australia. Yeah. And they were, you know, just out here. Now, that first win was the first win for a Nigerian team in 20 years. Now that they've advanced to the quarterfinal, this is the first African team, period, men's or women's, to be in the quarterfinal. So they don't just represent for Nigeria, they represent for the continent. We're very proud. This is much bigger than you know, even just, they represent something so much bigger. So we're proud already, no matter what happens.
Yeah, yeah. I can, like the inflection in your voice. You know what I mean? Just let me know how serious like this means and this means to you. And it's great to see that. You know what I mean? I'm sure people will hear that when they're hearing this podcast, like this means something to Roz. And the Olympics are often telling the stories of people we don't often see in our sports silos because we're paying so much attention and we just see it. And all of a sudden you hear these individual stories of, you know, athletes in different countries for doing different things. And it's those are the things that's great.
Now, that's what gets me excited about the Olympics. It's meeting new stars, like hearing incredible stories of perseverance. You know, the on the other side, like just a quick shout out, the men's side, South Sudan has been an excellent story and a beacon of light in African basketball. And look, you know, the NBA continues to globalize the game. You're seeing now that the top players are mostly international in the league. The NBA Africa is something that I'm heavily excited and invested in, and they're building out the game and ecosystem there. You will see powers coming out of Africa. South Sudan is one of those. You know, it's been an incredible story, and there's more talent coming. So I'm really excited.
the international game is growing. And I think it's important to see. Now, I'm very curious what you think with Team USA. Like, it's an assumption, a wide-held assumption. You know, they've won 58 games in a row in the Olympic competition, expected to win the gold medal. I am very curious, Roz, with your expertise, looking ahead to 2028 in Los Angeles, and the W will be in a much better position, which means Team USA by proxy will be in a much better position than you're like Cheryl Miller. Show me the bread, right? What do you think Team USA could look like in 2028 in Los Angeles? Like, what players do you see in the pipeline, especially as the Taurasi start to age out? I mean, Taurasi could play until she's like 60. She may just show up because, you know, she got the connections and all that type of stuff. You know what I mean?
No, DT says she's done with USA basketball. And I think, you know, for her, she gets to accomplish something no one's done six times, you know, as an Olympian and perhaps as a gold medalist, you know, like that would be very impressive. And that'll be her legacy. I expect this rookie class, we'll be seeing all of them there. You know, it was controversial if Caitlin should have been there or not. And the way, you know, Dawn Staley said it, the way that Caitlin finished the first half of the season, perhaps it was misplay or whatever, like to not, you know, to not have her there, you know, perhaps, you know, learning what USA basketball is about so that she could lead them into the next, you know, journey of that. But regardless, she wasn't put on the team. So I expect to see Caitlin, you know, maybe we'll see Angel Reese. You know, right now she's done a fantastic job as a rebounder in the WNBA. We'll see how she continues to grow as an overall player in the WNBA. I think Cameron Brink is going to be an Olympian, you know, coming back from the injury. I wonder in 2028, especially
Are you going to say the name? Are you going to say the name?
Juju.
That's the one I'm thinking about.
Yeah, so I think with it being in LA, Juju would be a rookie in the W, right? That'd be her rookie season.
Yep.
So I think with the LA ties, with what I'm expecting for Juju, I think Juju's gonna be bigger than all these girls. But I think, you know, that might be one of them situations where you put a young player in there, and who knows what Juju's gonna be at that point. You know, I just want to pray for great health and, you know, in her career, and she doesn't get hurt, and we'll see. But I can see it. Can't you see Juju?
I can. Look, it's LA. She's at USC. If she keeps on the trajectory that she's on now, like, she has an aesthetically pleasing game, and she's going to be more marketable as time goes on. You know, she's at a legacy school. She's in Los Angeles. We're going to see more of her. You damn right she's better be on the team now.
Right.
Now, Roz, you know, like I know, she makes the team, it's going to be a bunch of people. Y'all, they put Caitlin Clark on the team. Why you going to put Juju Watkins?
We're going to be doing that in 2028? Come on, that's 4 years away. That's so far. Like, I would hope people have moved on, managed their families, lost the weight they hoped to, you know, made that title at their job, mowed their lawn, did the kitchen renovation they meant to do. Let's move on, folks. Y'all got to live your lives. You're going to be talking about Caitlin wasn't on the Olympic team 4 years late. Yeah, yes. You expect that?
Yes. Have you not meant?
So listen, my expectation for Caitlin Clark is that she's going to be everything we thought she was going to be. She is a baller. The turnovers as a rookie is part of it. It comes with the territory of being a lead guard in the WNBA on a team that needs every single thing you can give it. And you're a rookie. Like, she's fantastic. She's having a great rookie season. She's especially heading into the Olympic break, really elevated her game. She affects so many parts of the game, and we haven't even gotten her into her to the cup game. She's doing this off of three step backs. She's making others better. She rebounds well out of the guard position. I think she's going to be fantastic. So by the time 2028 comes, I think people will point to it like, oh, would have been nice if, but I believe that she's going to have so many accolades by that point. This girl may be part of leading the Indiana Fever back to the playoffs. They haven't been since Tamika Catchings retired. Since 2016, they haven't been to the playoffs. So, and I think that's the year, but I know for a fact it's since she retired. So, like, I think I can't wait for us to get off the polarizing discussions and just talk hoop about these women, because Caitlin has been great, and I think she's going to be even greater.
And I think Juju, like you said, Juju is going to be out here doing the things. I can't wait.
Oh, I think Juju's going to be bigger than all of them. Listen, I'm very much on the Juju train. And
I can't wait.
Can we give some love? She's older, but Kiki Iriafin joining USC this season. It's going to be a movie in LA. She comes from Stanford. She's Nigerian. She might have been the most improved player. She was the most improved player last season. And the Volhoffen girl making the transfer to USC. It is a wild squad over there. It's going to be a movie. It's harder to be a movie in LA than it is Iowa, just because of naturally what happens in these cities. And I believe that it's going to be box office. Them sidelines are star-studded already. They're going to be even more star-studded. It's going to be sold out, packed out. We've got a legit superstar. I don't know if you've seen Juju around. The girl is oozing cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
she came to a play. Wait, Roz, she was at the playoff game that me and you were at. Clippers, Mavs, I think, in the first round.
She was a star.
Like, wait a minute. That's somebody. It was like somebody walking. And I'm like, I can't make out who it is because we were so far. Like, she's somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, that's like, oh, Juju Watkins. Oh, okay. Makes sense. Juju Watkins. That's the point.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest star here is the great Roz Gold on Wode. Roz, I appreciate you so much.
Oh, I appreciate you too. I'm so glad we made time to do this. I love joining you. You are one of my favorite friends in the biz.
Hey,
and one of the best.
I appreciate you. Roz knows I love it. Me and Roz be having our own Love Doctor conversations in the Staples Center media lounge and all that type of stuff, getting our jokes off. So, you know, maybe we'll bring Roz on to our singles version of the Love Doctor show on Valentine's Day.
I pray, but listen, I have claimed and manifested that I will not be on your singles Love Doctor episode by the time that's in February, right?
Yes.
That's in February. I got time now. I'm not going to be on that singles episode.
I'm going to leave it to John to decide who's on the cast of Love Doctor 2025. Whether that's single Roz or booed up Roz. Maybe booed up Roz might be fun. I want to hear fed up Roz. I don't want single Roz. I want fed up. I'm sick of his ass. That's what Roz I want. I want Roz that's sick of his shit. That's the right. Rise that I want to come on to the Love Doctor show. But sick I appreciate you.
Sick of his shit, but I am out the streets. So we will.
Good for you, Rise. When I get out the streets, I'll let everybody know.
Hey, listen, we have you on our list of next ups. So
I like that. You know what that says? You know what that says? That says pray for me. That's all.
Listen, put a prayer in for all of us, man. It's hard out here.
It's hard out here. Thanks again to Roz Gold and Wode for joining us today. Thanks to producer John and the entire team who worked so hard behind the scenes. Jake and Dan will be back for another episode of No Cap Room tomorrow. I'll be back next week. Until then, everybody be safe.